This is a rebroadcast of Migrant Matters. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
Welcome. You're listening to Migrant Matters Radio. I have with me on the phone an organizer with the all-volunteer-run Montreal-based organization, PNAI, and she has worked as a living caregiver for almost 6 years. She's in Montreal right now, and today we're taking a look at how the Living Caregiver Program issues are in a period of great change, and the current status of the Living Caregiver Program pertains to people working in Quebec. The Living Caregiver Program is one of Canada's temporary foreign worker programs. Thank you for taking the time to talk.
Thank you for inviting me in your program to share and, of course, to educate the people of what are the situations of the Living Caregiver programs here in Quebec.
Yeah, talk about PNAI.
PNAI organization is a Filipino women organization that is in Quebec, that is based in Montreal. We are a grassroots organization that has 250 members, but mostly are inactive because everybody's busy working. We are the organization who helps especially live-in caregivers and Filipino community. We also do some services. We have the legal clinics kind of service that help live-in caregivers or any Filipino who has a problem in terms of family, immigration, employer-employer relationships, something like that. We basically are the organization that organize and educate Filipino here in Montreal, working and helping the Filipino community. The organization was founded in 1991.
Can you talk a bit about your involvement with PNAI and how you got involved?
So I am one of the members and I'm also one of the officers of PNAI organization. I got involved with this organization because a friend invited me to attend one of their meetings, and I really liked how they organized the relationship among the members. And from there, I started to become active member of PNAI because I like to really fight for the rights of the people, you know, and to really express your rights in any way you can. So I think that's why I get involved with this women organization.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Can you give a brief description of the LCP, the Living Caregiver Program?
Okay. So I work as a living under this Living Caregiver Program for almost 6 years. So Living Caregiver Program is a program under the Temporary Workers Program that is offered by Canada to hire people from other countries to fill up the labors that needed here in Canada, and like domestic workers. So it is basically like a domestic worker, but this Living Caregiver Program is the only program under the Temporary Workers Program that we can apply for permanent residency when we finish the 24 months, when we complete the 24 months requirement of being a live-in caregiver. In this program, we have, as the program says itself, that you have to live in within your employer and in their house, in their place, to take care of them. In the contract, there are responsibilities or tasks that you have to do. And we get that permit. You can have that permit with a specific employer also. So this program, for you to be able for the caregiver to apply for a permanent residency, the caregiver has to complete 24 months out of 4 years now, and then apply for permanent residency and wait. So in this program, you're able also to receive an open permit that allows you to work outside this Living Caregiver Program if you want, while waiting for your permanent residency.
Let's talk about the recent changes that have been happening with the LCP and their impacts on the lives of people working as living caregivers.
In 2010, there's some changes that the immigration implemented. For example, before to complete 24 months out of 3 years, but now you have to complete 2 years out of 4 years. It means that there's a lot of time for the caregiver to complete the 24 months. I think that is the reason why they changed it. But in our point of view, it makes us more vulnerable for more abuse in that, because what the caregiver's problem is haven't resolved with that kind of law that imposing that giving it more longer time for the caregiver to finish the 24 months. That is one. The second one is the Juana Tejada law, that is after the Filipino caregiver also, Juana Tejada. Before, we have a second medical exam. Here in Canada, we have the first medical exam before coming to Canada during the application in Philippines, and we had the second in the processing of permanent residency, but that one, they eliminated it because of Juana Tejada's case. And the third one is that the employer has to pay all the travel costs of a caregiver. That is before the caregiver pays all the travel costs when the caregiver comes here in Canada. But I think this one, it doesn't really, but all these laws are not really well implemented. Although there is a law, but there is no mechanism that is well implemented. So that's why even the government says there's a lot of changes, it doesn't favor on our part. It gives us more hardship. It makes us more vulnerable to abuses, getting more isolated because of the kind of job or the position that we have.
You talked about some of the changes included allowing living caregivers to apply for permanent residency after 3,900 work hours rather than two years of work.
Yeah, out of 3 years, but now it's more longer. And it's included also some overtimes, but no employers will pay overtime and no employers will declare declare that overtime. If someone get paid, I don't think so that they will include it or they will declare it as an overtime. Because in this law that it covers the overtime that you do in your employer, you have to have the evidence that you get this paid overtime. So that one, it doesn't work.
Yeah, because that was the reason why they made that change. It was to ensure overtime is appropriately recognized.
Overtime, yeah.
Right.
Because one of the problems in this program is you work in the contract, you have 8 hours work, but in reality, it's like a 24/7 kind of a job.
Yes, so would you mind sharing the story of Juana Tejada and her work? Because we mentioned it earlier.
What I know is she was denied for a permanent residency because they found out that she has a kind cancer or a disease from the second examination. So
yeah.
She was declined to be permanent resident. But
yeah, she had terminal cancer.
Yeah, it's very unfair also because if she gets that cancer, then she gets it here while working as a domestic work, as a living caregiver. Because she had a very good medical results. She had the first medical examinations back in Philippines as part of the process to apply here as a living caregiver.
Because when you were talking about the elimination of the need for a second medical examination, when the caregiver
also
applies.
Yeah, Pinay also is one of the supporters for that. There's a lot of organizations who really work for that, and at least because of that, it was that law named after her.
Yes, she arrived in Canada in 2003 to work under the Living Caregiver Program. She completed the required 2 years to be eligible for the permanent residency, and she was found eligible. She was then required to undergo an immigration medical examination to complete the immigration process, where it was discovered that she had terminal cancer and together with grassroots organizations like Migrante Canada, she fought bravely and won. And in the process, she changed the laws around the Living Caregiver Program and helped to ensure that others wouldn't have to go through the same. And you also mentioned that the costs the employer is obliged to pay, now included in those costs are the caregiver's travel expenses in coming to Canada. Talk about medical insurance.
Yeah, medical insurance, because before, the caregiver has not under the medical insurance in 3 months after when a caregiver arrives here in Canada, because it takes 3 months for you to receive your Medicare card. For example, here it's Medicare card here in Quebec. So now the employer pays for that. The problem is, okay, the employer pays for that, but the employer doesn't give the policy to the caregiver. So who's going to benefit that in case that we have one situation, a Filipina who came in our, who asked help in our organization? The problem, she gets sick when she arrives because it's normal, because you have to adapt the weather, the culture and everything, the stress and all of that, and that sometimes it makes you get sick, but the employer didn't give her the policy, so she cannot use it. So even the law says that the employer has to pay for the medical insurance of the caregiver when she arrives 3 months after she arrives, then it doesn't work. If there's a law, then the employer doesn't follow that. So how this new caregiver gonna ask, or she asked, but she cannot really force the employer to, okay, give me, you know.
Right.
Because when the employer gets upset, or maybe the employer sees that you're very kind of aggressive and strong, then maybe she just can fire you, and you have trouble finding another job.
Can you briefly describe the third-party representative fees? That those are also included in the costs that the employer is obliged to pay?
Yeah, the agency, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be like that. What happens is that because of that, the agency cannot make that much money just by asking the employer to pay. You know, of course, the agency tries to find a way to ask money also from the caregiver. After that change in 2010, we have one case here in Quebec. A Filipina came in our organization. She was crying. She lost her job after a few weeks because she was very strong and she knows her right. But when she told us her story, the agency find a way to make her pay the travel cost. So instead, the employer has to pay the travel cost. The caregiver paid for her own travel cost. But the employer asked the caregiver to send money for someone, not in the employer's name, but for someone's account, so that the employer can pay her travel costs. But she's using the caregiver's money. So we cannot really say that these laws are in favor for caregivers, you know. I think the main problem for that is because these agencies are not regulated. So they can do whatever they want. They can ask more money. Before, caregiver has to pay $3,500, I think, for the processing fee for the agency. Now I'm not really sure how much. But how can we say that these laws are well implemented? We didn't hear any recruitment agencies that has been blacklisted or penalized for all of this greedy kind of business.
One difference between Ontario and Quebec provincial legislation surrounding the new definition of what costs the employer is obliged to pay is that Quebec employers of living caregivers aren't required to pay into workplace safety insurance, right?
Yeah. The employer doesn't have the obligation to do that. That's why our organization and some other organizations also are really forcing the government to give us this CSST or the workplace insurance, accidents or insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think the answer for that why they don't, because maybe they don't consider domestic work, not only caregivers, but domestic workers basically doesn't have that access to CSSD. Right. Our question is why it is not included. Domestic work is a job. So if they don't consider it as a job, then I think that for us, the only reason why we have no access to that, because they don't consider domestic work as a job.
There's been also some observations, like people working as living caregivers waiting longer to be reunited with families.
Your family.
Can you speak a bit about that?
Those changes were implemented in 2010, and it means that the new applicants of 2010 will be affected if you passed your papers after that date or on, you're affected. But I think the reason why it takes a lot, because there's a lot of, really a lot of backlogs under this living caregiver program. If it's really important for them, the reunification of the family, because in this program, the caregiver can also sponsor or can include the primary family with their application when they pass their permanent resident application forms. So if the government really care for the importance of reunification of the family, they can hire employees to do those backlogs if that's the reason why it gets delayed.
Do you find that the applications, they're longer now? What are the consequences of such a prolonged process, the prolonged process times?
Yeah, it is much longer, because before, we can change our, for example, if you didn't work out with your first employer, then you have to find a second employer, and then you have to apply for another work permit. Before, it just takes you 3 months, but now it takes you like 6 to 8 months to get that work permit for that specific employer. So that one, it means that it makes you stay longer in that program. And also the process of waiting for open permit, the process of waiting for example, here in Quebec, your CSQ or the Certificate of Selection, Certificate from Quebec. So everything gets delayed. And if a caregiver has a family, then it means that it takes her longer also to be reunited with her family. And of course, with that, in that case, it makes them difficult again to readjust the relationship that has been lost for how many years. But even with the help of technology now, it's still different. So there's a lot of caregivers who really have the difficulty of knowing her husband again and knowing their kids again, because of that long separation that they have.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about the impacts of separation on the family.
Uh-huh. And of course, the impact of that in the family will also affect the society, because we know that the family is the smallest unit of the society. So what affects in there in the family will eventually affect maybe the mother's job and, you know, everything she has to deal while doing also. She has to work more because she has a family now that, of course, and the husband has for sure difficulty to find a job. Mm-hmm. And also for the kids also to adapt the culture and the studies and everything here. Especially here in Montreal, we are obliged to speak French. So not only even caregivers, but we know that adapting the culture is the first thing that any migrant or immigrant has to do when you go to other countries. For example, I come here and I have to adapt everything. I have to adapt what the culture, and for here in Quebec especially, that the French-speaking province. So now we are really obliged to speak French, because you cannot find a job by not knowing how to speak French. Because in here, mostly, if you apply for a job, they're going to ask you, est-ce que vous parlez français? Instead of, what can you help in the company? And, you know, something like that. So it is more of a language And there's a lot of Filipinos also who received, a lot of caregivers who, when they received their permanent residency, they moved to other provinces. For example, like BC, they moved to Calgary, Edmonton, Manitoba, that they can find a better job without speaking French, just to speak English. And Filipinos are very good, I think, in speaking English.
There's also been reports that the number of people working as living caregivers entering the program has declined since 2007. What do you think are the reasons behind this?
For me, in a Filipino point of view, maybe they realized that entering in this program will not really, it can really give you this kind of, because for me personally, why I applied under this live-in caregiver program, I prefer this one instead of applying as a domestic work in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, it's because it allows me to become a permanent resident, that is one. The second one is I was thinking that maybe Canada has a very good law compared to the Philippines. You know, that they're going to follow the law, that the law will be well implemented, and there's mechanism that it is really well implemented, that all the people have the same rights, you know. All the workers have the same rights. But as of now, personally, as what I've observed, it's the same. It's just the Philippines in North America.
Also, can you talk a little bit about the increase in low-skilled workers? Can you talk a bit about the government increasing their intake of
low-skilled?
And so can you talk a bit about that? Maybe that's a reason why there's a number of caregivers entering the program is declining, because instead they're...
Low-skilled workers are basically this to fill up the shortage labor here in Canada. Labor, it means like domestic works, labors in agriculture, and cheap labors, as we know. I think all the temporary workers will really feel that this shortage of labor as cheap laborers. Cheap laborers, I can say, for these low-skilled workers, because it is temporary. They have no access to, they doesn't have the same access to what the Canadian workers have. They don't have access to education. They don't have access to permanent residency. They don't have access to employment insurance. They don't have access to this work insurance. They don't even have access to, for us here in Quebec, they don't have access for French language, the free access for French language. So maybe the reason why, I'm not sure if the live-in caregivers declined because they wanted to apply for the low-skilled temporary workers, knowing that the domestic workers, mostly 90% are women. And in this agriculture, mostly are men. And there's some companies also that hire low-skilled workers, but I think mostly men. So I'm not really sure if that's the case, or maybe because the government is promoting more on the low-skilled workers, because these workers doesn't have the chance to be permanent residents and living caregiver has. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a less responsibility for the Canada government, I think.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that there might be an intentional permitting people to enter the temporary foreign worker programs through the low-skilled worker program versus the caregiver program because
they're temporary. The Canada government is hiring temporary workers abroad to fill up the shortage of cheap laborers here in Canada that we know that it is permanent. It is a permanent need of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We always need people to fill up this labor shortage. Because I think no Canadians will do the agricultural job for less than a minimum salary wage, you know? So I think that's one of the reasons why the government really is promoting that. And because mostly of these people came also from third world countries like Philippines, Mexico, other countries, you know, that are being victimized also by their own government, you know, like Philippines, we are victimized by our government and forcing us to migrate for us to be able for the government to pay our debts through the Filipinos' remittances. So So, of course, as a Filipino, you chose to go abroad knowing that the family needs you and knowing that you have no chance to get a good job in Philippines. So you are really forced to work abroad. It doesn't matter what will the consequences is, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what are the consequences of such a prolonged process, the prolonged process times? Do you find that the applications, they're longer now?
Yeah, it is much longer because before we can change our, for example, if you didn't work out with your first employer, then you have to find a second employer and then you have to apply for another work permit. Before, it just takes you 3 months, but now it takes you like 6 to 8 months to get that work permit for that specific employer. So that one, it means that it makes you stay longer in that program. And also the process of waiting for open permit, the process of waiting for example, here in Quebec, your CSQ or the Certificate of Selection, Certificate from Quebec. So everything gets delayed. And if a caregiver has a family, then it means that it takes her longer also to be reunited with her family. And of course, with that, in that case, it makes them difficult again to readjust the relationship that has been lost for how many years. But even with the help of technology now, it's still different. So there's a lot of caregivers who really have the difficulty of knowing her husband again and knowing their kids again, because of that long separation that they have.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about the impacts of separation on the family.
Uh-huh. And of course, the impact of that in a family will also affect the society, because we know that the family is the smallest unit of the society. So what affects in there in the family will eventually affect maybe the mother's job and, you know, everything she has to deal while doing also. She has to work more because she has a family now that, of course, and the husband has for sure difficulty to find a job. Mm-hmm. And also for the kids also to adapt the culture and the studies and everything here. Especially here in Montreal, we are obliged to speak French. So not only even caregivers, but we know that adapting the culture is the first thing that any migrant or immigrant has to do when you go to other countries. For example, I come here and I have to adapt everything. I have to adapt what the culture, and for here in Quebec especially, that the French-speaking province. So now we are really obliged to speak French, because you cannot find a job by not knowing how to speak French. Because in here, mostly, if you apply for a job, they're going to ask you, est-ce que vous parlez français? Instead of, what can you help in the company? And, you know, something like that. So it is more of a language. And there's a lot of Filipinos also who received, a lot of caregivers who, when they received their permanent residency, they moved to other provinces, for example, like BC. They moved to Calgary, Edmonton, Manitoba, that they can find a better job without the speaking French, just to speak English. And Filipinos are very good, I think, in speaking English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because there might be people who may not know why permanent residency is something that's such a huge sought-after thing. So can you talk about the significance of having a permanent residence status?
I am a permanent resident now. You kind of feel a bit different of being a permanent resident and being a live-in caregiver who is not a permanent resident yet, you know. At least you can study if you're a permanent resident.
Mm-hmm.
You have the chance also to continue the diploma that you have, but of course that will take you a long time and it will take you a lot of, I think, yeah, some people do that. But the problem of that also is we have to follow the education system that they have, it doesn't mean that you are a nurse in Philippines, then you're going to be a nurse right away here in Quebec or here in Canada. So you have to undergo also the difficult process. But I think that is not what only the living caregivers experience that, but mostly immigrants who came here in Canada experienced that same difficulty also in terms of applying for a job using what your diploma, what you have back home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really much change aside from you just want to feel that you're a permanent resident. But as long as you choose to be still that program, then I don't think so that you will really feel the difference of being a permanent resident and being a live-in caregiver with just a work permit. I think not a lot of people really know that mostly foreigners who came here, especially in the low-skilled program, they don't really know that there's some status like that, that there's just, you know, you are just a temporary worker. I think most of the people knows that if you are here and you're working here in Canada, you're a permanent resident.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't know. The people are not aware of that. Canadians are not aware of this kind of status that we have.
What campaign is PNAI working on currently?
As a PNAI organization, we've been asking the government first to give us the access of the CSST, or that what we call the medical insurance at workplace. That is one. We have the CSST campaign that is, we still have that. We've been asking the government for that for years. And of course, oh, I forget that in French. That is the French Commission. That is the insurance at work accident insurance, something like that.
Oh, right. Workplace safety insurance.
Yeah, exactly. The second one is to make the live-in caregiver program to be live-out, because being live-in, working live-in with the employer more than in your 5 days work makes us more vulnerable to any kind of abuse. It doesn't matter if the employer has intention or no intention. This being live-in, being in this program, really, it doesn't matter how nice your employer, or even if you have the best employer, you can really experience any kind of abuse. And you have really no freedom aside from your 8 hours job being in that, being a live-in. The third one is to have the work permit named a non-specific employer. So we have also, if the relationship with our employer doesn't work, then we have the right. We have our own right to find another employer that we can work and, you know, we have peace while completing 24 months. And of course, being live out, it makes us less vulnerable to these abuses. The fourth is to give us more access to education, even just by learning French. Because in our case, being live-in, when even we ask the employers if to allow us to go to French school after 8 hours, of course they won't. They don't allow us because they need us. They will not think of our schedules. They need us and they know that we are live-in. So instead, employers asking the caregiver to take French class at your days off. So how many days off you have? Sometimes you have to work extra Saturday for them. And then Sunday, you have to at least, you know, go to church or socialize or see your friends. But instead, because you're here in Quebec, you are forced to go to school. But if you do that, how are you going to learn really the language just by doing 3 hours per week? So how difficult the French, thinking that how difficult the language is. Another one also is to give us permanent residence right away. Why work permit? We are filling up, again, as I've said, we are filling up this permanent job, this permanent job that the Canada needs laborers in it. So why we have to struggle for the 24 months, to complete 24 months out of 3,900 hours. So that's, yeah. And of course, we're demanding also Quebec government to increase the minimum wage of not only domestic workers, but these workers who are in precarious jobs. And also when it comes to agencies, we ask the government to regulate the agencies. So, you know, it will not just favor the agency, the employer, but also favors the employee. Because we all know that a lot of Filipinos who under living giver programs are really pays thousands of dollars for these agencies, and sometimes they just use it, what we call ghost employers, you know. So sometimes they are just using caregivers to make more money, and they don't protect caregivers at all when they arrive in here. Instead, they are more on the side of the employers because they can use these employers to hire another caregiver, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is one of our... Those are the things that Pinay is really fighting for,
mm-hmm.
that we, you know, as a live-in caregiver, that we really deserve these rights, because these are just basic human rights. This is not just being live-in caregiver, but as a human being, you should have these rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where can listeners find more information about Pinay, like Pinay's web address? How can listeners get in touch with Pinay?
You can connect us with Facebook. It's pinayquebec.org.
When I typed in pinayquebec.org, it forwarded me to the Pinay Quebec Facebook group page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you're saying totally makes sense, that the pinayquebec.org does lead you to the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners can get in touch with Pinay through messaging the Pinay Quebec nonprofit organization Facebook page.
Yeah, we have also a blog spot. It's Pinay Canada.
It's pinayquebec.blogspot.com.
Yeah, because before it was Pinay Canada, but
yeah,
you changed it to Pinay Quebec blogs.
.blogspot.com. So it's pinayquebec.blogspot.com. Right, and Pinay is spelled P-I-N-A-Y.
Yes, Pinay, it means in Filipino, it's a women. So Pinay means Filipino women. You are Pinay. If you are a Filipino woman, then we call Pinay.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I would just like to thank you for inviting us to be in your program, because this is one of our ways of educating people of not only the situations of the Living Caregiver Program, but the situations of the temporary foreign workers, that we all know that the government is really promoting it, and we can really see that it is increasing rapidly the workers who came here to work temporarily for a permanent need kind of job here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being on the show.